Okay, great to be back, and I hope you're still keen and enthusiastic and alert and alive and the rest. Let's take our Bibles and go back to Ephesians chapter 6, campers. Ephesians chapter 6. Set free to grow spiritually, and we this morning talked about the importance in growing that we need to understand is that we are growing on a battlefield. We are in a spiritual warfare and we have an enemy that is out to destroy, hinder you and I from growing spiritually. And the Bible teaches us here in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 11, that we must put on the whole armor of God. Now, part of that armor continues on in verse number 18. So I'm going to read verse 18 and then we will pray. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pray. O God, thank you for this opportunity once again to study your precious word. O God, please teach us how we can fight a good fight for your glory and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his precious name we do pray. Amen. So the book of Ephesians, campers, was written to a group of believers, a church in a place called Ephesus. Ephesus, in the biblical setting time, was a main city. I guess you could equate it to Sydney. It was the city of cities of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey today. So it was a very large city, it was a very worldly city, and one of the reasons why it was so large and so popular is because the main temple to a goddess was there in Ephesus, the goddess Diana. And if we were to spend time looking at Acts chapter 19, we will read about this goddess. So this main temple was there in Ephesus. And if you were to visit Turkey today, you can visit the old city of Ephesus. It's incredible. The ruins there, you'll better see from all the ruins that this was a very big, important city. And the worship of the female goddess, the goddess Diana. This was headquarters. And so wherever you have idolatry, campers, teenagers, you have demonic activity. Please write that down, okay? Will you write that down for me? Wherever you have idolatry, you have demons at work, demonic activity. So beware of that. Wherever there are idols, wherever idols are honored, revered, you have demonic activity. So it's no surprise that here in Ephesus was a lot of demonic activity. And thank God many of the Ephesians were converted to Jesus Christ. And as a result of their conversion, they removed out of their lives materials that were demonic, that were not godly. And that's just elementary, campers. If you really want to grow as a Christian, you better make sure, number one, that you are a Christian first and foremost. That's a good place to start. And if you are constantly struggling and you know in the depth of your heart that you're just getting nowhere spiritually, I challenge you to examine yourself whether you be in the faith and talk to one of your leaders or talk to your parents and say, look, am I really a Christian? Because according to the word of God, Jesus said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And if you are struggling constantly and you have no love for God and you have no desire to be with God's people, you have no desire to read the Bible and you just got no idea how to pray, well, maybe you need to get saved. Get saved. Make sure that you are a Christian. That's elementary. And from that basis, we see that the believers at Ephesus destroyed, removed out of their lives, materials that were contrary to God. Demonic books and literature that they had, as we read this morning, they got rid of that material. Now, that didn't solve all their problems. And on this journey of growth, the Apostle Paul reminds them that you are in a spiritual warfare. It's good that you're saved. It's good that you've gotten rid of materials in your life that are not helping you spiritually. But that's not the end of the story. And that's why it reads there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, this is the Apostle Paul's last charge to this church. Finally, this is the last but not least thing I want to say. And a person's final words, campus, should be of importance to us. Somebody says to you, just let me share finally something. Normally that means that they've got something really important to say. Final words are important. And it's no coincidence the Apostle Paul said to these believers, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on how much of the armor? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, not be defeated by the wiles or the trickeries or the schemes, the plans, the methods that the devil uses to destroy people. And he has a whole variety of them, okay? The devil's into variety in one sense, but yet he's predictable in the other sense. So we must put on the whole armor of God. And we talked about those portions of armor. And look at verse 18 once again. Note the first two words, which are so critical when it comes to putting on the whole armor of God. Praying how often? Always. Always. So this idea that you and I, as we put on the whole armor of God, we must never lose sight and we must never belittle or neglect the importance of prayer. Okay, as we put on the whole armor of God, we need to be much in prayer. And this is a part of the armor. Okay, the Bible talks about truth and righteousness and the gospel and faith and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And as we put on each portion of that armor, praying always. In other words, campers, prayer needs to be connected with each of these parts of the armory. And remember, the Apostle Paul uses the illustration of a Roman soldier and the different parts of his armory to illustrate what you and I as a Christian soldier need to put on. And the Bible teaches us that we need to be praying always. Praying always. Praying always. Now look at verse number 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt or belted up, surrounded with truth. Your life needs to be surrounded with biblical truth. And we talked about the truth of creation, that God created. That is so foundational. The first verse of the Bible teaches us, in the beginning, God did what? Created. End of story. Created the heaven and the earth. So this truth that God is creator, you need to surround your life with. Praying always. So how can we apply the idea of praying always when it comes to truth? Let me give you one tip. Pray that God will give you understanding of truth. Okay? As you read truth in the Bible, say to your God, Lord Jesus, help me to understand this. Help me to value this. Help me to humbly believe this. Okay? So praying always for understanding, for example. So we incorporate prayer as we put on the armor of God. So you're praying that God will help you to understand the fact that God created, and as you look at creation, you see the beauty, you see the order, you see the design, and God will use this in your life to cement the fact that there must be a God. This could not just have happened. Look at the beauty. Look at the design. Look at the order. You've got to have more faith to believe that we evolved out of nothing, out of some explosion came order. That's stupid. That's not science. Biblically, the Bible teaches God created, so you pray that God will give you understanding and to look at the creation and see, yes, yes, I see the beauty. Look at this, look at the design. Look at this, look at the order. Praying always. What about the truth there? It goes on to say in verse number 14, having on the breastplate of righteousness, right living. Right living. How can we pray this part of the armor on? Well, pray that God will give you the will and the strength to live right. Okay? To apply truth to your life. For example, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse number 14. Here's an example of right living. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. The Word of God teaches a truth here. And in this truth, God teaches us how we should live. Look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Let's read it together after two. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, good. One and two, nice and loud. But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? That's pretty clear, isn't it? That is pretty clear that you and I should not be yoked up in partnership with an unbeliever. And one of the greatest tragedies amongst Christian young people is that they seemingly fall in love or they develop a relationship with an individual that is not a Christian, let alone a committed Christian. And I guarantee you there'll be some of us within 5 years that you will get involved in a relationship with a person that's not a Christian. Why? Because you have failed to gird your life with truth. This is truth. And this is righteousness. This is right living. And praying always, God, give me the will and the power to obey your word as it teaches, that I am not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So campus, I challenge you, make that decision, even today, even this camp, that the Bible teaches us that I'm not to enter into a relationship with a Christian, let alone a pathetic Christian, but I am to seek a godly spouse for my life. So you pray and you ask God to give you the willingness and the power to honor his word. See? Putting on the breastplate of righteousness, praying that God will give you and I the willingness and the power to obey his word and to live right. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. What about the next principle here? Verse 15, it talks about your feet covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Footwear was very important in the life of a Roman soldier. They wore footwear that covered the majority of the feet and spikes to provide stability. You and I need to put on the shoes of the gospel. In other words, we need to be seeking to win people to Christ. So how can we pray on this particular part of the armor? What about praying that God will give you courage to be a witness, to take away your fear? Pray that God will give you courage. Pray that God will lead you to different people to share the gospel with. Praying always, praying on. Look at verse number 19 of Ephesians chapter 6. It reads, "And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel." So the Apostle Paul asks that these believers would pray for him, that he would be courageous in preaching the gospel. So we're putting on the armor by praying it on. God, give me the courage, give me the opportunities to be a witness for Christ. Does that make sense? Okay. Praying always. This is part of the armory. Let's read on there. It talks about the shield of faith in verse number 16. The shield of faith, simply believing God and what God has said in his word. This will extinguish, quench the fiery arrows the devil will throw at you or target you with. The doubt, the arrow of doubt, for example. Satan will fire darts of doubts. He loves shooting fiery arrows of doubt. Doubt. Doubting that you are really a Christian. Doubting whether you will ever find Mr. or Miss Perfect in your life. Doubt, doubt, doubt. And we need to put on the armor of God and that shield of faith, and we need to pray that God will give us victory over those doubts to simply take God at his word. For example, go to Psalm 139. And maybe as a young teenager for you, you've got some serious doubts in your life, and the devil is using these doubts, these question marks, to distract you or to divert your life from complete obedience. It's so important that we pray that God, in the power of his Spirit, pray that God will remove those doubts through the truth of the Word of God. For example, here in Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well." So the psalmist praised God that he is fearfully and wonderfully made. God makes no junk, as I would often say to my teens when I was a pastor. God makes no junk. You are special to God. And God has made you with honor. And God has made you with purpose. So we can rest in that fact, because the Word of God teaches that. And the psalmist said, "I will praise you, God, that I am special to you, and you've got a plan for my life, and I'm beautiful in your sight. No matter what people might think or what people might say, in your sight, I am unique. I am special." And God loves me with a love that has no boundaries. See? And this will help you, camper. This will help you and deliver you from peer pressure and being overly concerned about what others think. What others think about you. Because you can doubt, and therefore you seek the approval of your peers. But we need to take the shield of faith and take God at His word and say, "Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help me to value and accept what you have said in the Word of God, and not to believe what the world is saying, or what your peers might say, or what your Facebook friends might say. I have zero tolerance to social media. Absolute zero. I am more tolerant to a cockroach to social media. It's destructive. And I say to you, young people, if you've got social media, get rid of it. It will not help you grow spiritually. It will fill your soul with selfishness and falsehood, and it won't do an iota for you spiritually. And you adults, be a good example." Amen. Absolute junk. The whole social media stuff is rotting hearts and minds and destroying young people with all of our plastic friends, trying to impress our plastic friends and wasting all of this time putting up pictures of the dessert we just had, or the meal we just had, or where we just went, or what we just purchased. That's stupid, man. That's a waste of time. Somebody say amen. Amen. I couldn't care less what you had for dessert yesterday. In fact, I couldn't care less what you bought the other week. Shopping has no interest for me. I'm a man. I'm a full-blooded man. And you young people, I'm telling you, you need to, if you've got social media, you need to get rid of it. And I guarantee you, it's not helping your spiritual life. And the devil's getting in. You are opening the door for the devil to get in and plant seeds of doubt in your mind and cause you to live up to expectations that are not real. We need to be living up to this book, the Word of God, not what your Facebook friends say, or what your Twit friends say, or what your Instacrap friends say. Destructive. Hate it with a passion. I've got more empathy for a cockroach. Really? Yeah. That's how I feel about it. I've got more empathy for a cockroach than social media. And I challenge you, young people, get rid of it. It'll be the best thing you do. "Oh, but Pastor, I won't have any friends anymore." Rubbish. They are not your real friends. Here are your real friends. Real people. Real people. God is your real friend. That's free, no extra charge. The shield of faith. Pray that God will help you and I to accept what God's word teaches. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Take the helmet of salvation. How do we apply that prayerfully? Well, pray. I would encourage you, be prayerful. Constantly be thankful for your salvation. That's a good thing. When was the last time that you thanked God for your salvation? When was the last time you read a verse like, for example, go to Titus chapter 1, please. Go to Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. It reads, in hope of eternal life, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. When was the last time you prayed on the helmet of salvation by thanking God for your salvation? That the God of the Bible cannot lie. He promised. Promised what? The hope of eternal life. So thankfulness. Praying that God will remove any doubts through His Word. So this idea of praying is so critically important as we put on each arm of each portion of the armor. And there in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying for the empowering of God's Word in our lives. That we trust God, that God will do what He said He would do, but we are praying that God will give us the power to obey the Word of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. I know it's hot, so am I. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, are we still friends? Are we still friends? Even though I hate social media with a passion. We're still friends? Okay, if you want to discuss it further, come and see me. I'd love to chat with you about it. Okay. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it reads, let's read it together after two, nice and loud. You ready? Nice and loud. You ready? Are you ready? Okay, after two, one and two. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. What a wonderful promise. That whatever trial or testing that comes into my life, God will always provide a door out. God will always provide a way of escape. And in putting on this portion of the armor, we could potentially pray, God, give me the power to honor your word, to believe that you will provide a way of escape. Help me to see the way of escape. Help me to take the way of escape. So you're praying. Does that make sense? So you're praying through each portion of the armor. That is so important. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 18, praying always so with every portion of the armor campers, you need to be in prayer and ask yourself, what prayer? Ask the Spirit of God. The Bible talks about here in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. What are the next three words? In the... What does that mean? In the Spirit. I'll tell you what it means. It means that God's Spirit, if you are a Christian, God's Spirit lives within you and He will guide you and help you to pray. So ask the Spirit of God to help you to pray. Pray a simple prayer like this. Spirit of God, help me, show me how I can pray putting on the armor of truth in my life. So we're seeking the Spirit of God to help us to pray. Praying always with all prayer. That word prayer there in verse 18 is a general word that covers all different kinds of prayers, from praise to thanksgiving to adoration to praying for somebody. It's a generic word. But also note there the word supplication. That means that's in reference to specific needs. We need to pray specifically, okay? Pray specifically for needs. We get so often what we ask for. So we need to pray specifically. And look at verse 18. Watching thereunto, being alert, being vigilant. We're watching. What's that referring to? Well, expecting that God will hear our prayers. That's what it's referring to. And praying with all what? Perseverance, patience, be constant, and supplication. Detail. Make sure that you are praying specifically. And look at the next little phrase here, at the end of verse 18. And I want to close with this. We've been talking about putting on the whole armor of God in order to grow. We are called to grow as Christians on a battlefield, a spiritual warfare. Put on the whole armor of God, praying always. Look at verse 18, the last three words. For all saints. Let's say it together. For all saints. One more time. For all saints. We are to pray always. Pray always specifically and generally. Watching, being alert, looking for God, anticipating God will hear our prayers, praying specifically, patiently, persevering for all saints. And the point I want to make is this. We need to pray one for another. Okay? Are we not all as Christians on a battlefield? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Are we not all brothers and sisters in Christ? Yes or no?
Yes.
Should we not all be concerned for one another's spiritual well-being? Yes or no?
Yes.
Praying always for all saints. So we put on the armor of God. We're praying each portion of the armor, but we're praying one for another. Don't underestimate, campers, the power of your prayers. Pray for your friends. Pray for others that, like you, are on a battlefield, praying for one another, for all saints. So, young people, let me encourage you, put on the whole armor of God. If you want to grow daily in Christ, you've got to remember and never lose sight of the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. We are growing on a battlefield. We have an enemy. He's out to destroy. But God has shown us in His Word how we can defeat the enemy. Need to put on each part of the armor, piece by piece, the whole armor of God. Praying always, pray on each part, praying through each part of the armor. And we need to be praying one for another. Praying one for another. And if we would be praying one for another, I think we'll see fewer casualties. May God help us to love the Lord and to grow in His grace. And I challenge you, young people, if there's something in your life that's not helping you to grow spiritually, it might be music, it might be your social media, it'll definitely be your social media, possibly your music that you listen to, it might be the friends in your life, those that you spend time with, I challenge you, amputate. Amputate. But that's not the end of the story. You still have a battle on your hands. Amputate. Remove out of your life, like the Ephesians did, but determined to grow, but put on the whole armor. Piece by piece. With prayer. And praying one for another. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. And I'll hand it over to Pastor Sullivan. Thank you.